Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
So we're staying in a hotel while we're in Chicago that used to be a and is now a
yeah
first of all
still owned by
still owned by and if you don't know what it is, I mean, shout out to everybody who hooked us up with this hotel. I don't mean to talk down about it,
no,
but at the same time, I'm gonna give my assessment honestly. As a consumer, it looks like what a 60-year-old person's idea of what a millennial wants to be in.
Yes,
it looks like a Pinterest hellscape in here.
Yes, it looks like Instagram threw up on the inside of a hotel. And
the funniest shit is when we check in, they're like, and just so you know, the rooms are European inspired, so they're a little bit cozier, which is code for no closets.
Right.
The motherfucking shower. I don't know if y'all hear that. I'm banging on the
shower door.
The shower is,
the shower door.
The shower is a phone booth right next to your bed that
Anna,
you can reach.
Anna's head is sitting on a sink.
but it's like well designed. So
aesthetically nice.
Yeah, it's aesthetically nice. It's working. I've got my... Like, yes, there's no closet, but they give you a bunch of pegs to hang your shit on.
It looks like you look like a down and out elementary school teacher, right? Like at a halfway house.
Yeah.
But the TV says your name when you come in.
Yours said your name?
Yeah, it said, hello, Edgar Mobley.
Oh, mine said, shit. Hey, you want to watch internet TV?
Yeah, mine
kept being like, Netflix, Hulu, like all these streaming platforms.
Hey,
like,
kid, we get it.
I turned the TV off to start working on the dock today, and it came back on. It's like, what about internet TV, millennial?
What about these internet flicks?
What makes me mad is like the inconsistency in like culture. Like when you come in, they give you like a free drink ticket, but it's a poker chip.
Right,
like,
right,
that's
right.
The only Vegas thing about this entire thing, and then everything else is like the burritos are like zombie inspired for some reason.
Well, because that's millennial, right?
Or it's like it's trend
chasing. They're they're chasing trends.
It's just so inconsistent.
Well, there's Korean X Mexican food collab.
Yeah.
Which is actually tasty.
It was a tasty.
Yeah.
No, but you know, so the Kogi truck did that to sort of bring that. It's all sort of derivative off of things that were huge like 8 years ago.
It was it was designed by the grandchild of whoever designed TGI Fridays. And like he's a lit millennial who like is just like they even had extreme sports on. It's like we don't do normal sports.
Yeah, that was weird. You pointed
millennial.
That out.
Like they had extreme sports being the projected on
the. Was at the when I was checking in, the person at the front desk got a call like on the line and goes, "Hey, what's up? It's Amy at the. What do you need? Actually, can you hold on? I'm dealing with a customer." And like that seemed to have been like the protocol for everybody using the phone was like this sort of like. Hey, we're casual. We're kids.
It totally is because housekeeping lets you know that they're coming by knocking the beat of grinding.
No.
Yes, they do, bro. Dude, I wish I could do it.
Do it on the table. Fuck it.
All right, do it on the table. It's like this. It's like this. It's like. Housekeeping.
No.
Housekeeping. I heard her do it like 5 times.
That wasn't the beat from grinding. I'm not to nitpick there.
No, it was bad. It was bad. I'm not great at it. I'm not great at it.
But it was a rhythm. Wait, but then they did housekeeping rhythmically in between the drums. Mm-hmm.
Housekeeping.
Wow.
Grinding.
And did they have like a Dyson little like cord, like a cordless vacuum?
Of course, of course. That's of course. It. And she was naked.
I think the girl who checked us in, who was very nice, by the way, but I think she had like a fake tattoo on her.
No, really?
Or either that or like it was a tattoo that like she was being removed. Anytime I'm in like hanging out with a millennial, I'm always like looking for the tattoos.
Also old. You're an elder millennial.
Yeah, yeah. I'm elder millennial. And so I'm like, you know,
are you respecting
I'm always
the
conscious.
Culture that we created?
Exactly. And I'm always conscious, and I was like, these people have to have tattoos. They would be fired if they didn't have tattoos.
I haven't seen a regular-looking person working in this hotel.
Nah.
Like, even the white people have dreads.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
I was like, yo, one shout-out to homegirl with the cinnamon bun roll, one dreadlock curled up like the snail.
Are we going to have to bleep the name of the hotel? Since probably. Oh, well. It's a millennial-inspired hotel, and the other thing they did, like we were talking about, it's so small, but it's smart. Like it works is the thing that I want to come back to.
The apologist.
I'm not being an apologist. So like we were standing over there waiting for our delicious nachos, talking shit about the place, being like, this place is so stupid. Look at the decor. And then we came back to the table. One of our fans was having a drink with us and we were like, so what do you think of this place? She's staying here. And she was like, I like it. It's fun. I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm
like,
how old are you?
If you're not,
how old are
like,
you? 25?
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, I'm that watching.
That's,
true.
That's when I'm like, I'm old too.
Yeah. Because like the lobby has a DJ spinning.
Yeah.
All
it has giant
around the
versions
clock.
Of your favorite board games.
Yo, yeah. The gigantic Uno card set. I'm sorry. That was a step too far. I can understand the Connect Four and Big Jenga. But gigantic playing cards, they're not even useful.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to be coy about your hand in Uno when each card is 3 feet high? You're like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. You're like shuffling a 4 foot card,
right.
Like, oh, which I hit you
with
this wild
Jenga
draw
and Connect four. For it does make it more fun. With Uno, it's just like
it's
so
cumbersome
unwieldy
as fuck.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's fun, and
and
it's profitable.
It
no, it's fun.
I'm
it's
sure
fun
it is,
for millennials, and it's profitable because I like think about how many extra rooms they cram into this. Like
absolutely.
A normal hotel would have half as many rooms.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they were just you know.
They like split the rooms in half.
These are fancy
European inspired.
Yeah, fancy capitalist cubicles for millennials.
Yeah, it's just they
respect
learned how
the game,
to.
Bro.
It's basically like the social media manager from a company was like, "What if I opened a hotel?"
Yeah. Well, you know, there were like I saw like masks you could use for like gramming. Like,
yeah.
If you're at a wedding.
There's literally
shit.
A giant pillow in the lobby that says, do it for the gram.
No, that's the table. The big
gigantic table
that says, do it for the gram.
Oh, but there's also a moving podcast studio in the lobby.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
That we were like, oh, dope. We can use that. And then we saw it was the size of, I'm not even joking, like a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
It's like Darth Vader's like pod that he sleeps in.
It's fine. You know, it's for two people, but you can't do a second-rate podcast like this. That's why
we
sound noisy-ass hotel room.
We sound like some spoiled podcast.
I want to bring something up real quick if I can.
Yeah.
Is it about the game you're watching?
It is. they're down by 30 points.
33.
There's no way they're going to win this game.
They being who?
San Antonio Spurs are down by 33 points. Yeah, like at some point, y'all should stop, right? Like,
oh, like a mercy rule in the NBA?
I feel like they should, like, I don't want to keep going.
Get the fucking break speed off of you.
Yeah. The coach will leave them in. Like, he's leaving his first stringers in because he wants them to feel the shame of losing.
He's like, oh, you don't want to run my offense or my defense? Okay. Yeah. I mean, what'd you do?
The unfortunate thing is San Antonio just lost by 30 to Dallas. So they're struggling right now.
Yeah, they are.
But anyway, for those of you who are time traveling, this is a game that has already happened. But yeah, enjoy that little bit of insight.
Yeah. Off the bat, I wanted to talk about the shitty, awkward high five heard around the world between Vladimir Putin and MBS.
Yeah, you said white guy high five. I'm like, I think only one of those guys counts as white.
Right. It's just Putin.
You asking the wrong person.
Yeah. Putin's just got his hand up and he's like, yeah. There's like a big pause before where he gets that white guy anxiety about how am I going to do this high five.
Well, and I don't know. So for those of you who clearly are not looking at the GIF we're looking at, it's at, from the G20 when Vladimir Putin and Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, caught each other at a little summit.
Yeah.
And the way they high five sent chills through my spine. Yeah. I just retweeted the video and said, when you both fuck in the same nation, because it's sort of like, they're like, yeah, boy.
Eskimo nations.
Oh yeah. It's the confidence. And also the funniest part is when Trump sheepishly comes in from the back. He's like, yeah. You guys talking about me?
And he's like looking from a distance like, hey, what's up, guys?
Well, I mean, these are two men who clearly have some kind of power over Trump, whether it's clearly financial in terms of MBS, or it's some kind of compromat thing for Putin. Like, we're looking the other way with the Khashoggi murder. We're looking the other way with everything.
Right.
With Russia.
Now, did we already talk about the fact that you can see Trump in the background?
Yeah. He comes in late. Like,
but there's a photo that someone put online where you can like see him looking.
Looking, yeah.
Oh, at them?
It's like a very split second, but you can tell.
And you can see the sadness in his eyes of like, I won't be in that.
Well, and Putin's clearly doing it.
I've never seen him like
demonstrative.
That.
Like he's
showing out.
It's like he's somewhere with an ex, and he's trying to show like how good I'm doing.
Yeah. I've been who? Donald? Never heard. I don't know. Never heard of her. MBS is bae now.
Right. And he's just trying to. He's doing it for Trump. He's doing it for the Western cameras to just be like, yo, I am public enemy number one. I am going to fuck you up. Like, look, this dude murdered one of your journalists, and now he is my best friend because he did that.
Bro, can I be real with y'all?
Uh-oh.
And it hurts me that we're not talking about this. How sad it must feel to be Donald Trump right now, because your friends don't want to let you go talk to him. They're like, don't go over there. Don't go talk. Yeah.
You can't talk to them.
Don't talk to them.
They're not good for you.
No, and all he wants to do is go over there, but he can't. Because he has to put on a show for everybody else. And also,
he didn't even want this.
I'm going back to the game real quick. Everyone's doing this thing of wearing suits for Craig Sager, and Mark Jackson is clearly not playing along. Yeah, he's like,
this is my, I have boundaries.
I have boundaries, bro. Wear a stupid ass suit because this nigga died of cancer. Not me, bro.
Yo, Mark Jackson's the wrong one. Right. Mama, there go that man with no empathy.
But I just think that, like, Donald Trump is, like, again, I have no sympathy for the man. Yeah, he's evil. But this is a fuck situation, bro. Of, like, this nigga's mocking you in your goddamn face.
And then he also uncanceled their meeting. Trump's people canceled the meeting for him and were like, this would be very bad. And then Putin was like, well, you don't buy his reasoning for that. And we're still going to have the meeting anyway.
Yeah.
The Kremlin, like, you're not breaking up with me.
Was so fucking savage. It was like, like, it was so sarcastic. It's like, that's interesting that they say they canceled it for those reasons, but we feel that that's entirely not the case. It's probably due to domestic problems that the president is facing in his own country.
Jesus.
The meeting, they're like, they will meet, whether it's informally or not.
Yeah.
That's some pimp shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like, yo, you're not breaking up with me.
No.
Right.
Like, okay, watch this.
Yeah. Which is
very frightening.
Which is a good sign that you should get a restraining order against somebody. But
why do you do that? The UN or NATO?
Right.
Yeah. Who's going to sign that restraining order?
Yeah. It really just solidifies him as like openly being the villain. And there's just nothing we can do because of who our president is at the moment.
He's just a punk, bro. Like, straight up is a punk. Doesn't want to, like, you know, be tough. And I get it. It's not an easy situation to be tough in, but come on, bro. Have some balls at least.
Yeah, self-respect.
Well, he was never... I think that's the difference, is we're trying to look at him as even being a president.
Yeah.
He's right. Just some fucking schemer who found his dumbass way into it and was like, oh shit, I'm the president now. Like, I don't really want all
He's
this.
Just a narcissism complex with a dick that just like goes around just being like, yo, like what is going to either get my dick wet or make me feel important?
And that was make the my name of my first feel porno.
Narcissism complex with a dick.
Yeah, it was. It didn't get a lot of good reviews on Pornhub. Huh?
What was your porn name?
Haitian Stallion.
Oh, that's very original.
Yeah.
Isn't your porn name supposed to be your middle? Wait, what is it? Your pet's name plus the street you were born on?
And those are both also correct.
Your first pet was a stallion?
The cat called Haitian. I was born on Stallion Ave.
We want to talk a little bit about the recently deceased President George Herbert Walker Bush, because the nation is in mourning. There's a national day of mourning on Wednesday of this week, as declared by our current fearless leader. And this is one that we've actually had our eye on for a while, to put it in one way. I mean,
Barbara, this story?
Yeah, and
his
kind of impending demise, because, you know, they say that once one member of an elderly couple goes, then soon after, if they're truly in love, or if the woman is really the backbone and the hard ass and the muscle in the relationship, then, as in this case, then maybe, you know.
I'd say the length of time he died after her proves he didn't really love her.
Wow. Well, that we were debating. A lot of people were saying like, oh, he'll probably be heartbroken. It could be weeks. It could be months.
He went on for months.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to say that we were taking action on when we thought this might happen, but we might have been.
Right.
And I'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
And maybe Nick or I have one, and we'll have to look at the digital evidence. Yes. But, it was interesting, though, to see all the very interesting, changing of history.
Yeah.
Or at least the very selective focus on certain aspects of his presidency and
him as a
person.
The great thing about being a likable, charismatic guy.
Right.
Is that you can do horrible things. Like Trump, nobody's going to be like telling warm stories about Donald Trump. Mainstream media won't. But you've got a lot of people doing it for Bush because he was just a charming guy.
Yeah. And he got along with his critics. Him and Dana Carvey were like pals, even though Dana Carvey would like regularly make fun of him on SNL.
Yeah. Well, and he was fine with Dana Carvey, but he was really pissed about The Simpsons, which is why The Simpsons made the greatest episode. Yeah. He mentioned them specifically in a speech, something about like how we needed more of
less Simpson.
Yeah, less people who are like The Simpsons, basically. Like the Simpsons had Marge write him a letter and stuff, being like, well, we think our family's pretty okay. And it was like this whole thing. And that's why they made that episode where Homer and Bart fight with George H.W. Bush.
Oh,
best episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's funny to remember a time when The Simpsons was like the edgiest thing we had going in America.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, look how big they made Ross Perot's ears.
Yeah. He said, don't have a what? Yeah, I mean, he lived an indisputably interesting life.
Oh, yeah.
There's a picture of him shaking hands with Babe Ruth on the baseball diamond when he's in college. He was not the world's greatest military pilot, but one, you know, the right level of military pilot to have lived a very interesting career as a military pilot,
he got shot down
a lot.
He did his part against that whole thing.
Got shot down a lot.
That happens to a lot of people.
He is the only person known to have crashed a plane off the Naval Pier in Chicago. That was a piece of... piece of trivia we learned this weekend from Jackie Sneal.
What is it about Republican statesmen and not being very good pilots? I'm just saying.
Right.
Well, I mean, Harrison Ford, though, and he's, you know.
Is he conservative?
No, he's not. Oh. So I was saying, you know.
He might as well be with his look of having that earring. I'd be like, this is a conservative in denial.
Assume that I can buy acid from him.
From
him. And that would be my first question to Harrison Ford.
And you'd be like, what? Okay, come over here.
But I mean, besides the David Coppa feel, his grabbing women on the ass and whilst telling them the joke, you know, my favorite magician is That all happened in the past, you know, handful of years when he was in a wheelchair, very old, maybe wasn't fully at functioning level. But besides that, I can't really think of a bad thing to say about the guy. Can you guys?
You do a show called Behind the Bastards, Robert, and I have a feeling there's no material for you when you talk about George H.W.
Yep,
Bush.
Y'all ever heard about the Highway of Death?
Is that a horror movie?
Yeah, I mean, but it actually happened. When the Iraqi army was in retreat, there were thousands upon thousands of men, many of them in civilian vehicles, fleeing from the highway from Kuwait back into Iraq. They were no longer any threat to the United States military. Not that they'd been that much of a threat to begin with,
right.
But they were running the hell away, and he ordered them bombed. And we don't know how many people died. Thousands upon thousands. There are pictures you can find, particularly of one man burnt alive in a car who was trying
like
to free himself.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible pictures. It was a war crime. We right. didn't need to do it. It was an act of military terrorism that George Bush approved because he essentially wanted to send the message to Iraq, stop it with this fucking invading people stuff. So you can debate whether or not you think that was justified based on your own personal ethics, but he ordered the bombing of thousands upon thousands of fleeing people
right.
who were no threat to anyone.
Yeah. An interesting thing about him that people probably don't remember now because the media probably doesn't like to bring it up that much, but one of the big marks against him at the time was that he was a wimp.
Wimp.
They were like, this guy's a wimp.
Right.
Headline.
Mm-hmm.
President wimp. A wimp. So in order to counteract that, he did, you know, they people have suggested that that might have been why he went so ham in the Operation Desert Storm.
Weird flex, but okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And why he invaded Panama in 20th of December, 1989. There's a pretty interesting documentary about that where the U.S. invasion does not come off all that positively.
I mean, okay, who among us has not invaded Panama once?
Right.
Right? I mean, I'm not gonna throw shade on the guy.
I did take a river tour on the Sarapiqui River, and I almost went near there. But no. The other thing is the coverage is all sort of like they're using Trump to be like, man, remember this? Yeah. Remember civility, like with our politicians? And I think, I guess comparatively, but there's a lot of parallels too. Like, you know, Bush pardoned a bunch of people from the Iran-Contra thing so he wouldn't get in trouble.
And was a major aspect of the war on drugs cracking down so much harder and like kind of had the FBI entrap a 19-year-old into selling crack near the White House
right.
so that he could claim that you could buy crack near the White House even though they had to go all the way to the other side of the city
right.
and give the kid directions because he didn't know how to get to, like, he didn't know what the White House was really. If he said, I think his exact sentence was like, is that where Carter lives or something? Not Carter, Reagan. So
right.
it was like he didn't know anything about politics.
Right.
Like they brought him there so they could be like, you can even buy crack, you know, in the shade
right.
of the White House.
Yeah.
So that's pretty messed up, too.
I mean, at the same time, having a outwardly respectable president is, I feel like I was underrating it up to about 2 years ago. Like, was he a race baiting asshole at times? Of course. He was also the head of the CIA at a time that America was doing dirt. But he had the common decency to pretend not to be racist or evil in his day-to-day behavior, thus sending the signal to whites across America, racism bad.
Yeah, and I think we don't, that is an important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just keep that shit inside.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it.
Well, and just like for all the bad things he did, he was never someone we were like, this guy might just flip out and start dropping nukes. Like, nobody worried about
it. Well, one thing he did have a good head was foreign policy from being in the CIA.
He was a stable personality. He did things I don't agree with, but he was clearly not a madman. He was a guy who made really morally questionable decisions, but not like nobody was worried that George W. Bush was a lunatic.
Right.
HW.
Even with W, like, I never thought he was going to drop the nukes.
No, he's just a stooge.
He was just a dummy.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you know, he wasn't much for the Civil Rights Act of 64 when he was running for a congressional seat in Texas. And we all know the Willie Horton ad.
Yeah.
Kicking off, we love old dog whistle racism, you know, caping for Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parallels, I think, really, with Donald Trump in certain aspects. But yeah, I think, there was a...
there, I guess that's civility, I guess, but I think I think we'd look away from like his terrible record when it comes to like the AIDS epidemic.
Oh God, and things like that. Like 140,000-150,000 Americans died under his
right.
One of his big innovations was banning people with AIDS from entering the country,
right?
Which further stigmatized the disease. I don't like him, but I agree. I think rather than calling it civility, it's what Jack said is really good, which is just like he didn't send overt signals to be racist. And that's right. a thing.
That's like, a thing now, apparently.
It's because like the current administration does all the other shady stuff that HW would have done and also does that. So right. like, yeah, I get that.
There was some balance.
It's yeah. like John McCain I have a lot of issues with, but he didn't like torture. And it was better when there was a Republican being like, torture's bad.
Right, right.
Like, and
right.
now there's not. And that like, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back. One last thing about the president is that the Senate, and specifically Senate Republicans, have decided he's 100% full of shit when it comes to the murder of Khashoggi.
Yeah, who's full of shit?
The president.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. And Mohammed bin Salman. Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Oh, yes. For sure.
So the CIA briefed the Senate and told them what everyone has seemed to know all along, that MBS ordered the murder of Khashoggi. The CIA did some spy shit, presumably because they know that there was WhatsApp messages exchanged between MBS and, like, head assassinator, the lead of the assassination team, around both before and after the murder. So, like, he was kind of in the know when that was going on.
And even, like, told MBS's right hand, he's like, tell your boss he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, I think was one of the messages, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Which is just bad writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could offer some punch-up writing for your WhatsApp messages, and be
God, what a sinister job for a comedian.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think as last week, right, Mike Pompeo and General Mattis went up there and basically threw what was left of their credibility into the dumpster fire, and were like, I think Pompeo said, oh, well, there's no direct reporting that could link this. Mattis said there's no smoking gun, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like Lindsey Graham coming out. He's like, there might not be a smoking gun because there's a smoking saw.
Ooh.
And whoa. You're like, whoa, Lindsey, is that you?
Is that you? A little bitchy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's got his limits. Bitch.
Also, a smoking saw, it's whatever. Yeah. How did you get a saw to smoke? I mean,
if
whatever.
You
Lindsey did
aren't.
His best.
Properly lubricating it and
yeah,
while trying friction. To chop something, the friction will cause the right material to smoke.
He was
I
a stone cutter.
Corrected.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Jamie, the thing you have to understand.
Here we go.
Jesus Christ.
Saw-splaining with
Jamie. I hate myself. Yeah. So the other thing is that the CIA was supposed to brief the Senate last week, and the White House specifically stopped that from happening.
Yeah.
And it finally happened today. So.
Yeah. And even, I'm surprised that they found their backbone on this one. Because yeah. There's another thing, even Bob Corker, I mean, look, we know now that he doesn't have to face any kind of election. He's just saying whatever. But like a journalist asked him, he said, after hearing from Haspel today, this is him asking Bob Corker, mm-hmm. Haspel today and Mattis Pompeo last week, was there a difference in the message or the determination that MBS was responsible for the Khashoggi murder? Pause, Corker. Difference between darkness and sunshine?
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, thank you for that one. So, I mean, we'll see if that'll affect anything.
Mm.
Exactly 1 point for a Senate Republican.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Laura Loomer. This broke after we recorded at the end of last week.
Yeah.
After she claimed that Representative-elect Ilhan Omar's entire religion was oppressive towards women and gays and Jews, she got banned from Twitter.
Deep laugh.
And that pissed her off because she's a far-right activist,
mm-hmm.
and they're supposed to, you know, Jack Dorsey's supposed to be looking out for them. So
he usually is.
She began arguing the letter of the law. She was like, everything I said was 100% true. Which it isn't, but even if she could like claim that in some technical sense it was true in the context she was saying it, Twitter can do whatever the fuck they want, dude. Like that's, you're not.
It's a private company.
Yeah, it's a private company. You post at their discretion, as we've annoyingly found out with our own Jamie Loftus.
Right.
But, you know, it works the other way. And if you're evil and they successfully read the intent of your hate speech, yeah, you don't get to just throw a, you know, just flip out. So her first response was to claim that the president was going to intervene on her behalf.
Yeah, because, you know, he gets censorship that
right.
The liberal media machines are against the right. So he was like, yeah, he'll step in on my behalf because I'm doing the right thing. Mm. So I don't have to worry.
I mean, that was step one of this, just being like spinning out like a spoiled child in a toy store who hasn't gotten what she wanted. So claiming the president, my daddy's going to come. that didn't work. And then so she went to Twitter's offices in New York City and handcuffed herself to one of the doors. She didn't want to create a fire hazard. So only one of the doors.
Good for
and
her.
Then threw away the key. And Twitter decided not to press charges. They were like, fine. I mean,
yeah. That's cool. Because when the cops showed up, they're like, well, do you want to press charges? We can remove her. And they're like, nah, let her rock.
You're good.
let's see how, if she's built for this.
And also,
the one thing was wild that she had like a sort of Star of David from like, you know, like
the Holocaust.
Nazi Germany era, like sewed onto her shirt. Was really doing a lot in her demonstration.
I mean, it's attacking where you're weak is the thing that the conservatives have just, like, it's just second nature to them. That's what they always do. So if you're a Nazi, you claim to be a victim of Nazis.
Right.
Like, that's just how, just.
If you're a racist, you claim to be a victim of reverse racism.
Yes.
It's a good, I mean, I get the very elementary logic behind that, but it doesn't hold up after 2 seconds.
I thought that y'all would learn, you know, from the multiple times that I've been here, that y'all are looking at this all wrong.
Okay.
And y'all are not looking at the sacrifice that she made. You understand how much shit she could have been doing that day, and then she chose to her own, you know, prerogative aside to so she could chain herself to the Twitter building. I don't know, man. If Ariana Grande did it, y'all would be cheering her on. Y'all be so happy. Y'all be so proud. But y'all want to disrespect this woman for exercising her right.
Well, the best part was when she was like, you know, and I'll pee myself if I have to.
But then she wasn't willing to actually back that up.
Yeah.
She was like, after like an hour, she was like, all right, this is boring. I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, it just shows you how shallow her thinking was, like how short-sighted it was.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll do this and people will gather and I'll make this point. And then she's like, wait, but if I threw away the key and I'm really supposed to pretend that I'm about this demonstration, then I would have to urinate on myself.
Right.
Wait, where am I getting food? Wait, what about all these other things? And then, yeah, eventually
it was
just like,
why are people being mean to
me? Come on, get out of here.
And a cop was like, ah, you seem like a nice white girl. There's other social medias out there for you. He literally said that to her.
Like, oh, he really said nice white girl?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
But he said
I know,
there's
the
other
medias
yeah,
out there.
There's
yeah.
other medias out there, hun. It's just funny that he was like talking to her like, ah, you'll catch the next one.
There's
Laura
a
Loomer.
Funny pic of like this NYPD cop, like white guy just looking at her doing like the quintessential like sarcastic New Yorker smile of like, yeah,
right.
All right. Yeah, nice try there. Get out of here.
All right, guys, the thank you next video. I know it's all, Robert, that you've been talking about for the past couple days.
I can't get enough.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, he's not in it, but the video references him. It's a very well-executed video for a very catchy song from the most famous person on Earth with a very specific demographic, the sorts of people who would watch a video premiere online.
Right.
So this was, unsurprisingly, an enormous hit. When it premiered at a certain point, 829,000 people were viewing the video at the same
Jesus.
Time on YouTube, which is pretty insane because YouTube is a pretty huge site and it managed to like cause lag time on YouTube. It was like too much for Google.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the way that this has kind of filtered down to people who aren't Ariana Grande is that yesterday there were a couple stories breaking about Pete Davidson claiming to be bullied, and it did make me realize what a uniquely shitty position the video kind of puts him in, because it sort of casually dismisses his role in her life as just, you know, like one step among many. Like, he's put in a list of four different ex-boyfriends. She also reveals in the video that she broke up with him because her burn book says, sorry, I dipped.
Ooh.
It has his face scratched out and puts him in just an unremarkable third position in a succession of four exes. And
who's number one?
Big Sean.
Oh, God.
Who
okay.
She says she thought she'd end up with. And in the burn book, the thing she writes about him is could still get it. So that's got to hurt a little bit. If you're Pete Davidson, you're trying to get over this breakup.
Yeah, the guy's like, I'd still fuck this one, though.
Right.
I don't understand what sorry I dipped means.
Sorry I had you dip out on you. I dipped out. I abandoned right. you. I left you.
Prior to this, people were wondering who left who dumped who, and she kind of put it out there.
Right. And it just sucks, too, because he doesn't have nearly the same kind of cachet she does. So immediately everyone's like, oh, Pete Davidson's whack then.
Right.
Which I think probably led him to write about how, like, man, so many people are, like, telling me to kill myself and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. Like, maybe you can't do something like that anymore. Like, it's not like...
What, tell somebody to kill themselves online in a comment?
Well, no, I mean, you can do that. In fact, it's very popular.
Yeah,
kids love it
these
days.
It's never been more popular.
Yeah. No, but like back in the, like, musicians have always written songs about their past
right.
relationships, or in the case of Eric Clapton, about just some lady he wanted to get with who was his friend's wife.
Right.
Like, that's just the way that music works. But like something like this, you're putting a specific person on blast and targeting them.
Right.
Like, even if that's not your goal, you know what crazy people on the internet do. Like,
right.
it's kind of a messed up thing. Like, it'd be one thing if this was like someone on her level of fame. Then
right.
I guess it would just be like one more beef between two famous people. But you're like bringing a mob down on a guy.
I think with
her
fan base, though, it's going to happen either way. Because like they're so dedicated. So if it's like, well, we're Ariana always.
Right.
You know?
Are they, where do they rank on the, like, Beehive being, like...
Hey, don't get me involved in that. I don't want them coming for me.
Being the most dedicated and talented fan group.
I think the Beehive is probably the most scary, organized scariest, mob on the
but
internet.
But Ariana Grande is, like, up there,
she's
right?
Got, I mean, she's got fans, and, I mean, it's a testament to their fanaticism when people like Pete Davidson are like, man, like, it's really sucked going through this breakup publicly.
Yeah. I mean, he's... just gone through a really public breakup with someone he thought he was going to marry, who's like more famous than him. And also, this is on the heels of a very public battle with mental illness. And he's also in recovery. It's just like a really, I don't know, really uniquely shitty position that she's put him in.
Pretty rough to drop this song when he's in recovery, too.
Right. Well, you know, this is what happens when, you know, celebrities get with each other and they're petty young people, too. So,
yeah. And I'm sure he'll be fine. But
Yeah. Well, and that's what he said, too. He was like, you know, I'll be fine. He's like, but I just felt like people needed to know that this isn't like the most fun shit for me.
Yeah. The incident that finally made him ask people to stop was a waiter put the song on in the restaurant he was eating in and then started filming him.
Oh my God. So they did that for the gram? It wasn't even a coincidence. Yeah. Like he was set up.
Yeah, he was set up.
That's gross. Yeah. That's really gross. I don't like
the internet. Look what it does to people, man. I know, man. Just so you can get that viral tweet, basically.
Right.
See, okay, so like in terms of laws that we do need that I would support, there should be a government bureau that's just a couple of guys and ladies who walk around when someone does something like that for the gram.
Right.
It's really shitty. Just hit them once right in the jaw. Ooh. Not enough to do serious damage, nothing permanent. Just like a person in a suit walks up and says, you know, such and such, you did wham!
Boom.
And then you're done.
Whammo. Wow,
maybe you gram it. Maybe you gram it too. Maybe there's a government gram and you monetize it to pay for healthcare.
Right. Yeah. And when is your meeting with the Department of Justice?
Again, my screams have not been returned.
God damn it.
So let's talk about the president's hotels.
Yeah.
Because apparently they are very popular with tourists from a specific nation.
Yes. Which one?
Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
I was going to guess that one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You believe it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we all know money is the key to this man's clogged heart. Mm-hmm. The Saudis, I think, realize this, how one-dimensional he is, like trying to get basically putting an arms deal on the table to sort of leverage that for other things. But Mohammed bin Salman's been really helping out the ailing Trump Hotel in New York City. Apparently, like after 2 years of decline at the Manhattan Hotel, the Trump International, revenue from room rentals went up 13% in the first 3 months of 2018.
Huh.
What caused that? A last-minute visit to New York by the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But of course, Mohammed bin Salman will not be caught dead at a Trump hotel. That's where all his like underlings and entourage stayed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, Mohammed bin Salman.
If anyone even stayed there, if they didn't just rent it out to give him money.
Yeah. MBS actually has money.
Yeah.
So he's like
you can always tell the people, the few people that Trump will say nice things about are the people he's jealous of.
Right.
And the people he wants to have their life like him. Yeah. He couldn't bring himself to say a negative thing about it because he's jealous of him, because he wants to be him.
Right. He's like, well, maybe he'll let me in my club or we can touch that globe again.
I want to be in. Give me in on that high five.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
His hungry eyes when he saw Putin in MBS.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just he's looking at that being like, Dreamweaver.
I wish one world leader had done that thing on Instagram where it zooms in and flames shoot out everywhere while it was happening right there.
Or like dramatic
that,
super
I wish,
zoom.
Come on, Merkel, just throw up a dramatic super zoom. Yeah. I don't know if I'm one of your VIP friends, but I follow the story.
Yeah, right. get your story games up. But also, MBS has also been, well, not him directly, but the Saudi lobbying arm has been also very, very nice to the DC hotel, the Trump DC hotel also. So like all
just coincidences everywhere. With so,
yeah.
Stuff.
Within a month of Trump's election, the lobbyists who represent the Saudis, they paid for what they estimate around 500 nights in just 3 months at that hotel.
Huh.
Booked it for 500.
Maybe they're making
nights.
A sequel to that Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Zoe Deschanel movie, which is going to be 500 nights of winter.
500 yes. nights of screams. well, yeah, but the wild thing was, the reason, though, is even more absurd. So what they did was it was part of a quote-unquote lobbying effort where they were offering U.S. military veterans like an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C., so they would lobby against a law that the Saudis opposed.
So the Saudis were paying for U.S. military veterans to come
to D.C.
And then the U.S. military veterans were just suddenly having Saudi Arabia in their best interest?
Well, the thing is, they didn't know that the Saudis were paying for it. So like what happened was they found a few veterans to like organize other ones and just be like, hey, we should come by. We're going to just one of the emails said, quote, storm the hill to talk about this law to keep soldiers safe. You know what that law was? It was the law that allows victims and families of victims of terrorism to sue countries that sponsor terrorism.
God, who sponsored terrorism?
It's oh, tough to, God. I mean, let's look at the 9/11 hijackers board here.
2001?
So, 15 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. Uh-huh. So I think that is the big reason that they
want to
do that.
They do not want that law to pass.
Well, the crazy thing,
I think it's just a bunch of coincidences. I mean, it just does, I don't see the law where the line is drawn.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, well, what? I mean, what are they going to do?
It's like if you put up a bulletin board, you know how there's all those conspiracy theory bulletin boards? Right. Yours would be three photos with one piece of string going straight across three photos. And you're like, I don't know. I think I might have solved it.
There's no way it's this simple. There's no way it's this simple. They're hiding in plain sight. But
and in plain sight.
Well, the whole thing, too, is they were going with the most tired talking points. Like, they'd go to Chuck Grassley's office, and, like, Chuck Grassley's, like, aides were like, this hasn't even been, like, we haven't publicly discussed this yet, but okay. And they're like, yeah, we just feel like it's going to put the soldiers at risk. And then, like, other people on the Hill began to be like, are you the guys that were bribed to come in here? Like, it was such a farce to, like, the actual politicians they were lobbying that it's so transparent. And, yeah, the irony was most of them didn't know that that's who was at the, you know, cutting the checks for their little trip.
They're just two middlemen away, so they just think they're getting a trip.
Well, can you imagine? It's like your country sponsors the people who kick off the thing that give you the pretext for this massive war that takes millions of lives. And I'd imagine
in the wrong place.
Yeah, I'd imagine these are people who, like, probably, presumably fought in those wars to come back and then are now lobbying on behalf of. It's such a mind fuck.
Trump is the best for veterans. I was reading about it on his Twitter.
Yeah. He just gets them. You know, he gets the sacrifice and the willingness to just give up your life.
It's so
the betterment.
Although last week he did tweet something. He's like, why are we paying so much in defense?
Right.
Like, it's like, what? That was like one of the things you were patting yourself on the back before.
There's not money for school lunches because you wanted to do that.
Right. And then suddenly you're like, whoa. Okay. I don't know. I don't know where I am day to day. So.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back. And Miles, scientists are working on a way to determine what the most influential film director and actor are. And their methodology is, it confused the hell out of me, but their results seem pretty spot on.
Yeah, because they're using, rather than like box office numbers and reviews, which are too subjective, they're trying to use complex networks. So like really analyzing the data and using a film as a node, and any connections to other films sort of increases its like value to, I guess, film in general.
So like as an influence on other films is
exactly. Or if it's referenced. So as these, so it's a group of Italian scientists, and they're using like a similar methodology that they use to sort of like track the impact of like scientific studies.
Right.
So they're just applying this now to films. And so as they say, we propose an alternative method to box office takings and reviews for analyzing the success of a film. We have developed an algorithm that uses references between movies as a measure for success, and which can also be used to evaluate the career of directors, actors, and actresses by considering their participation in top scoring movies. Okay, so based on that,
actually also how Google works.
Right.
They were like basically just trying to classify different academic papers on a algorithmic network as a graduate project, and eventually invented Google.
Right. Well, thank
you. See, that's so much savorier an origin story than Facebook.
I know.
Right.
Just Mark Zuckerberg was creeping on ladies in his class.
Right.
So when you look at it, first of all, none of these, when they go to the top 20 films, none of the films were released before or after 1977, which they even acknowledge the bias that it's biased towards Western films because they're using a lot of the data that they got from IMDb.
Sure.
And also that it's definitely more male biased, and that it also there's a bias towards older films because they've been around longer and henceforth can have more influence on the movies we see now.
So it's really a better tale of like which movies from the 60s and 70s were most.
I mean, exactly.
Well, it goes all the way back.
That's
to
still
the beginning.
Neat. Yeah.
Well, and I think, if you look at, I think if you went off box office and like with inflation, I think Gone with the Wind would be the top
Gone
film
with the Wind,
or whatever.
That would not be.
But it doesn't even, it's not in the top 10. So the top 10 from number 1 to 10 is Wizard of Oz, Star Wars Episode 4, Psycho, King Kong, 2001, Metropolis, Citizen Kane, Birth of a Nation, Frankenstein, and Snow White.
That actually makes sense. If I was gonna.
Because those are all, like, you've seen those quoted so frequently throughout your life, like
whether
it's in a Looney Tunes cartoon or in another film, that it's just become like a part of the filmic language.
Yeah, it's their cultural wallpaper.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, when they did the same process through directors, they found that like the most influential director was who's the guy who directed Gone with the Wind, George Cukor or something.
Yeah.
And then Victor Fleming and Alfred Hitchcock. And then so they're saying like, oh, well, if Cukor and Fleming, they probably got there because of Gone with the Wind. And then other people that were credited for like with The Wizard of Oz. Like, so they basically were like, hold on, we got to figure this out because this isn't quite the best way to do it for directors. So then they created a different metric for directors and actors, which is a little more interesting. So they did more of a what they call a medal ranking system like the Olympics. So you get a gold point for each film that reached the top 5% of influence in the year it was released, a silver if it was the 5 to 10%, and a bronze if it was in the 10 to 25% ranking. So with that in mind, the top three directors in order, number one goes to Hitchcock, Spielberg, then Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
Brian De Palma.
I mean, I guess he has like the kind of like movies that people have the posters up in their rooms.
Right, Scarface and The Untouchables, despite being like, it was a hit movie and it wasn't like that well received by critics, but you know, that quote from Battleship Potemkin of the baby carriage going down the stairs at the train station has been in just everything.
Oh, the Naked Gun one is my favorite.
Though. Right, the Naked Gun one's great, but everybody references
the most racist one. They had the fucking gardener chasing after his lawnmower going down the stairs. I was like, that didn't age well. I mean, he also directed Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage. I'm sure that had to
I'm
factor
sure,
in
I think
a little
that's
bit.
Probably why he wound up in there.
And then when you go to actors, it goes Samuel L. Jackson, Clint Eastwood, Tom Cruise. Okay. Because we know Samuel Jackson is like one of the, like, if you count the movies, he's like the highest grossing actor of all time when you look at the films.
He's been really smart about how
he was in three fucking Star Wars movies.
Yeah, you're right.
And then when you go to actresses, Lois Maxwell, who played Moneypenny in the early James Bond films.
Oh, of course.
Carrie Fisher and Maureen O'Sullivan.
Which one? What was Maureen O'Sullivan in?
I don't know.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher makes sense. What with the Star Wars of it all. And Blues Brothers.
Maureen O'Sullivan from Hannah and Her Sisters, or Tarzan.
Tarzan, okay.
Yeah.
I guess so. She must have been like Tarzan a golden films. Age like,
I don't know. I'm
star, like,
horribly ignorant when it comes to work, so I'm sure someone will let us know why she would be up there.
How did Nicolas Cage do?
Nicolas Cage, I don't have the full list, but I'm sure he'd probably be just in the top 20. I don't know, actually.
I'd be surprised if he wasn't in the top, like, 30.
Because he's also
not Nicolas Cage.
He's in films that do on the box office, but not necessarily ones that, like, are good. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like The Rock, you know, like, it's like, okay, or like Gone in 60 Seconds or National Treasure, shit like that.
Are we shit talking The Rock here? Because...
Oh, I did a Bechdel cast on it. I mean, look, The Rock is what it is.
I can't imagine
it
did well on a Bechdel cast.
You know what? It technically passed, and we had to change the rules because it was like the one time two women talked about each other. It was in reference to whether or not Jade, Sean Connery's daughter, felt safe talking to him when they met up at that park.
Oh,
So it was technically a conversation that was had to do with a man.
Okay.
So even though it was like, hey, are you okay? I was like, I think it passed, and we had a hard time being like, yeah, we can't let this thing pass.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's one of the seminal feminist works of our time. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.